John chapter 1, please, this morning, in your Bibles, to John chapter 1. The Christmas season is a season that comes and goes. I already have had and continue to have a wonderful season this year. I think we've had a wonderful season already in our personal lives and here at our church and academy. I'm looking forward to a few more of those wonderful times of this season yet. But the truth of the incarnation of Christ, the spiritual reality of Jesus Christ's birth, does not end with a seasonal celebration. It continues on. And it leads us not just from the birth, but eventually to a crucifixion. And the crucifixion leads us on to a resurrection. And the resurrection leads us on to glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that glorification will eventually lead us on to a consummation that leads to eternity. So this is not ending in just a few days when the Christmas season is over for this year. It all goes together. Jesus was born that he might die, that he might rise again, that he might sit at the right hand of the Father, that he might come back again, that he might reign for all eternity. It all goes together. Focusing on God's actions, that's what we've been doing for the past several weeks here now. And we have been looking at what we call verb forms of what God has been doing. And we first discovered that at Christmas, God was announcing the birth of his son. And then we saw that God was surprising. There were many people involved in the birth of Christ that were surprised. Mary was surprised. Joseph was surprised. The angels were surprised. Then we saw that Christmas was God's action of reaching down. We saw a verse in Isaiah that said, "The Lord's arm is not shortened, that he cannot save." He's reaching down. And then we saw that God was inviting. We looked at the wise men, how that the star in past prophecies led them, and they were invited to come and worship the Christ child. Then last week we saw that this was all about God winning. You know, the battle is really won. Our salvation has been secured. The victory has been given, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came, and all of the Christmas story was part of that event of God winning. But today, we're going to focus on one final activity of God or action of God. Matthew and Luke are the only two Gospels that directly deal with the events that concern the birth of Christ. They're the only ones that tell us about Bethlehem and the manger and the wise men and the shepherds and the star. We don't read about those things in the other Gospels. But that doesn't mean that there's not truth about the birth of Christ. It just means that we don't have all the details around the specific birth. We have in John chapter 1, a narrative that deals with us theologically concerning the birth of Christ. Would you follow along as I begin reading in John 1:1, right in the beginning of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I haven't taken the time. Some of you may have noticed it this morning, but with all the wind yesterday, my blue nativity scene that I have out in front, well, it's white, but I have a blue light on it, blew over, and I haven't picked it up yet. I'll try to do that this afternoon. But a lot of churches have beautiful nativity scenes out in front of their churches at this time of year. It's kind of just an annual thing to do, right? You put out the nativity scene like we have here. And certainly a beautiful, beautiful nativity scene. Well, in this one particular church, the week after Christmas is over, they do what we normally do. They put the nativity scene away. And a little girl came to church the next Sunday, and on the way in, she said to her mama, "Oh, look, mama, they put Jesus away until next Christmas." I hope that even if we take down our nativity scene, and I take down mine across at the parsonage, and we start taking down our decorations, that none of us think we're putting away Jesus for another year. I know we haven't actually, most of us, celebrated Christmas yet. Maybe you've had some gifts. Maybe you've celebrated partially with some family and some friends and so forth. But for most of us, the celebration is yet this week on either Monday night or Tuesday. I hope that this isn't our experience as we debrief after Christmas, you know, and we don't sit around saying, "Man, I just did way too much. I am so tired. I'm glad Christmas is over." I hope that's not our experience. I hope that it's not our experience that we say, "Man, I ate too much. I put on several pounds this Christmas." I hope that most of us aren't going to say, "Man, I spent way too much. Now I'm poorer as a result of Christmas." I hope what we can say is, "I spent a lot more time worshiping Christ, worshiping God." You know, our relationship of worshiping Christ and worshiping God transcends and goes way beyond this week. Way beyond. We've had as a special verse in our bulletin this whole month, but thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. You know, there's a ad that we sometimes see on television from a jewelry store that says, "Give the gift that keeps on giving." And it's diamonds, you know. Give the gift that keeps on giving. Well, I want you to know that the gift that keeps on giving is Jesus Christ. It's not diamonds. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. And you know, this morning, and I'm going to emphasize this, if you don't remember anything else from my message this morning, I want you to remember this. God gives us what we need, and God gives us all we need. Let me repeat that. God gives us what we need, and God gives us all we need. How many of you have already received a gift this year from somebody? You've already received some kind of a gift, all right? We have certainly been blessed in already having received some. You know, my father got to this point, and in reality, I'm kind of at this point myself. My kids are saying at Christmas time, what do you want for Christmas? And you know what I really have to say? I don't need anything for Christmas. Just being with you, the family, is all the Christmas I really need. All the Christmas I really want is just to be with my family and enjoy the day with them. I don't need anything. I will get a lot of things, and I will appreciate those things, but I don't really need anything. I can honestly say in Christ today, I have all that I need. Most of us will get things at Christmas that are nice, and we will enjoy them, but most of the time, and I won't say all the time, but much of the time, it's going to be something that's not really necessary. We could probably continue living without this thing. I mean, it's nice to get it, and it'll be fun to have, but we probably could continue to live even if we didn't get that thing. But here in the Gospel of John, we have four gifts that I'm going to think about this morning that we must have. Four gifts that we can't do without. And you know what Christmas is? God giving. And here in John, he gives us four gifts. I'm going to just briefly focus on these four gifts this morning. And you know why God gave them? Because he knew that's what we needed. He knew we needed these four gifts. That we couldn't get along without these four gifts. That we just had to have these four gifts. Gift number one, the Word. Notice what this passage has in it in relationship to the Word. It's mentioned in verse 1. He's mentioned in verse 2. Mentioned in verse 14, but the word is capitalized. Why is it capitalized here? Pardon me? Deity, because it's talking about a name, an identification, and you all know from your English days in school that when you're talking about a specific, you're identifying someone with a proper name, you capitalize it. And so we have here the Word capitalized because it's a name, it's a title. It is God communicating with man. And in this passage, we learn several things about the Word. In the beginning, the Word was already here. So it's talking about the eternality of the Word. In the beginning, it was. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We learned two things about the Word from this verse. That it is the Word is the same as God, but also distinct from God. Here it says, the Word was with God. If you have, if I were to say, I went out to dinner with my wife, what does that mean? Well, the two of us were out to dinner. The word with means that we were together, side by side. Well, here it means the same thing. The Word was with God. So we have God and the Word as being distinct. But we also have them as being one. And the Word was God. This is the mystery of the Trinity. That's what we're talking about here. The triune God who is one God, yet separate persons of the Godhead. And how many of you have ever found the Trinity difficult to fully understand? Well, guess what? Your pastor finds it difficult to understand fully the Trinity. And that's good. It's good for us to have some things we don't fully understand, because we're not God. And so we have this eternal, pre-existent one who is equal with God but distinct from God. And that place of heaven, which was a perfect place, we didn't sing it this morning, but there's a hymn that talks about the fact that the Lord leaves those ivory palaces and comes down. And that's exactly what Christ did. He left the ivory palaces of heaven, and he came for an important reason, to provide a means whereby we might receive forgiveness of sin and salvation. You can keep your place in John 1, but I'm going to go over to Hebrews chapter 1. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times, in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so this one, we have today the written word. We also have the living word, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's living word. And at Christmas time, what did we need? We needed the living word of God. And so you know what God did? He gave us that. He gave us the gift of the living word. It's the gift that keeps on giving, and a gift that we can't live without. What did Jesus say when he was being tempted? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need God's word. We need the living word. And so God gave it. But in John 1, there's a second gift. Not only did God give us the Word, he gave us life. Notice in verse 4, 3 and 4, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The other night I had opportunity to speak just following the Christmas program here on Tuesday night. And the children did a marvelous job of reminding us that we all need a second birth. We all need what the Bible calls being born again, being born from above. And the children did a wonderful job of putting forth that tremendous need for everybody. But then I had opportunity at the end of the program to clarify that and to strengthen that and to give some scriptures that would support that. And you're all aware that today the Bible says that when you were born, you were dead. And you look at me and say, what? When I was born, I was dead? Yes. When you were born, you were dead. Dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. In other words, you were physically alive, but you were spiritually dead. And so there is the necessity of having a spiritual birth. And John 1 mentions this word life. And when he mentions that, he's not just talking about physical life, although that's, we're all here because of God's wonderful creative acts of giving us physical life, right? None of us are here by any other reason or reaction other than God made us. And so we, if we're alive today, we can thank God. But if we are spiritually alive today, we can also thank God. Because you need to have both a physical birth and a spiritual birth. And so one of the gifts that God wants to give you today is life. And this life is the light of men. This life is in him. John verse 4 says, chapter 1. Over to John chapter 11. And in verse 25, we have a very wonderful verse. I've shared with you much of this verse has been put to music. You can sing this verse. My voice is a little rough this morning, so I'm not going to sing it for you, but we can sing this verse, John 11, 25. And, but Jesus spoke these words at a funeral. He was there at the gravesite of Lazarus, and he said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I explained the other night that every person who's ever been born will have one birth. And if they've only had one, they will have two deaths. They will have a physical death and a spiritual, eternal death in separation from God. But if you've had two births, a physical and a spiritual, then you'll only have one death. Unless the Lord comes back first. One death, the physical. But you will have eternal life. John 3:36, and we know that verse. Jesus said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so we have this second gift. First, he gave us the gift of the Word. Then he gave us the gift of life. And if it's eternal life, then it's the gift that keeps on giving. Eternal life. But in back in John chapter 1, in verse 4, the end of the verse, it says, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. There is a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. And that's capitalized again. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. When I was pastoring in Kalamazoo, Michigan, at Green Meadow Bible Baptist Church, one time during a very similar service to this. It was at Christmas time. We had some guests who were visiting, and they had come with another family who were regular attenders of our church, but this family was visiting. I can't remember the exact nature of the relationship, but they were visiting. And as soon as I finished my message, the children from that family that was visiting were out the door and outside playing. I think I hardly said amen, and they were gone. And the reason was they were from Alaska, and they were now in their dark period when the sun was only up for just a very short period of time. And these kids, it was so cold up there in Alaska and no sun. Guess what they wanted to do as soon as they could? Get out the door where there was sun and they could play. It was warm enough that they could play. Now, you don't have to admit to this. Maybe, and spouses, don't you admit it for your spouse either, okay? But how many of you get a little surly if you haven't seen the sun for a few days? And now don't look at your partner. Anything you just get a little bit. You know why? Because we all need light. We all need light. I mean, it's just a physical fact that we have to have light. This same man who I was talking about, who came down to visit, at noontime, he was a teacher in a public school there in Alaska, and at noontime he would sit in front of bright lights just because his body was starved for light. And they were special lights that had supposedly the whole gamut for sunlight and everything. He had a condition where he had to have this light. We need physical light. But you know that more importantly than that, you know what we need? Spiritual light. I have a little kind of a joke I do around here at times. I haven't done it a whole lot this year because I don't go by that room as much as I used to. But when I was teaching Boys Bible, I had to go down to the room in this end of the hallway. And as I passed, there was the room where the girls' high school Bible usually is. And a lot of times, some of the girls would be in there getting ready for the class to begin, but the teacher hadn't quite come in yet. And so they hadn't turned on the lights. So I would reach around the corner and flip on the light, and I'd say, "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." You know, and I'd just say that as a joke going by and turn on the light for them. Do you know what? The truth is, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And John 3, you're already in John 1, I hope. John 3 says in verse 19, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." I remember reading an illustration many, many years ago about a girl who was on her way to a party. She had on a special nice dress. And as she was on the way to a party, unfortunately, a car went by and ran its wheels through a mud puddle and splattered her with this mud puddle. Well, as she looked down, she was kind of in the middle of a block where there wasn't any lights that were there on the street. And she looked down and she said, "Oh, man, that doesn't look too bad. I guess I can go on to the party." And as she walked along, she came under a street light. And then she looked down and she discovered, well, it was a lot worse than I thought. And so she had to return home and change her dress. Do you know what the light does? It shows us exactly how dirty we are. And that's what God's word does. It's a light, and that's what Jesus Christ does. He is the light. And the light of God's word and the light of Jesus Christ show us exactly how dirty we are. And we need the light. Can't live without it. And so God, who knew what we needed and knows what we need now, even today, gave us the gift of the word, gave us the gift of the light, gave us the gift of life. But there's a fourth and final gift here. In verses 10 to 12 of John 1, it says, he was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I have written in my Bible three little words by these next verses. The first one I wrote by verse 10. I have the word ignorance. The world knew him not. You know, there are many, many people today who really don't know who Jesus Christ is. To him, he might just be a swear word. They don't know who he really is. Yes, people in the United States don't know who Jesus Christ is. But then it says in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So at first, they didn't know about him. They were ignorant. But then when they did know about him, they rejected him. And there are people like that today, too, who know about Christ, who really realize who Christ is, the eternal Son of God, the Savior of the world, but they reject him. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's those who receive him. So you can be ignorant of him, you can reject him, but my prayer is that if you've not already received him, that you receive him. There are words here that kind of are used interchangeably. They don't mean exactly the same thing, but they're close. The word receive and the word believe. If you really believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done, that's great, but then you have to receive. The receiving part is the confirming by acting upon what you believe. And belief is more than just head knowledge. Belief is acting upon what you believe to be true. There are, in the Bible, If you were to study this phrase, the word right, the right, there are only three times in the Bible where God gives rights to anybody. And here, who's he giving a right to? Those who believe, those who receive, and what's the right he's giving them? Become the sons of God. It's kind of like an official right. You now can say, I'm a son of God because I have, now don't say it boastfully and proud, but I have received from God the right to become one of his children by receiving Christ as my Savior. Now the other two rights was a right to sit on a throne, and that's only been given to Jesus Christ. And the other right is to eat of the tree of life. And guess what? That was limited, but it's going to be opened up again for us, for those who are the children of God. We can eat eternally from the tree of life. So we have this fourth gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of the new birth, the gift of becoming a son of God or a child of God through faith. four gifts that you can't live without. The Word, life, light, and the new birth, and the right to be called a child of God. Question: have you received God's gifts? Have you opened God's gifts? Have you used God's gifts? Can you say without any hesitation this morning, yes, I have received, opened, and used God's gifts in my life? What was God doing at Christmas? He was giving. Let's pray. Father, we look quickly at these first 12 verses or so of John 1. They are such rich verses. We could go back and study them much more in detail. And yet, we can see very, very easily that in this passage, God is giving. And we're on the receiving end. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God gives, we receive. Christ came. Christ shed his blood. Christ gave his life so that our sins could be covered and our sins could eventually be cleansed and forgiven. And the activity and action that needs to be a part of our lives is that we need to, by faith, receive and believe. Well, our heads bowed and eyes are closed, just as we close our service this morning. I wonder how many would say, Pastor Walter, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have received the gift of eternal life given by Christ. Here's my hand. I'm raising it in testimony of the fact that I have received Jesus as my Savior. Here's my hand. Thank you. I didn't take time to note every particular hand. That was not my purpose. But I wonder if perhaps you were not able to raise your hand this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I do not know for sure whether I have Christ as my Savior or not. I just am not 100% sure. I believe I need Christ. I believe I need to receive Christ. If that's your condition this morning, would you just slip up your hand and let me see it, and I will remember to pray for you in closing this morning. And say, I'm not sure about my salvation, but I'm asking you to pray for me, Pastor. Anyone at all, slip up your hand. I need Christ as my Savior. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Father, even though we don't see any hands, we know that you definitely know the heart and you know the real condition. And so I pray that you will continue to use the Word of God and the Spirit of God would be at work in our lives, bringing conviction to bear. I pray that if there are still any without Christ, that they might turn to him while it is time. Father, I pray for and thank you that you gave the Word, you gave life, you gave the light, and you give us that new birth. Help us to be grateful recipients and to live our lives in light of that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.